Friends, if you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to Luke chapter 6, the Gospel of Luke chapter 6. This is part two in a series of sermons. I started it last Sunday with looking at how we are saved through the flesh and the law, or by faith through Jesus Christ. If you missed last Sunday, you can catch that sermon on our website, on the church app. We've got copies of it going out in the vestibule back there, and also in the tray table out here. And if the copies are gone, please let me know, because I want you to have one. This is part two of that. Today we're going to talk about confirmation or transformation and consider how we do discipleship. If you're in Luke chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 39. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 39. If you're there, would you say amen? And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And then come down to verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word, for your promises today. And Lord, I pray it in the name of Jesus and by the power of his blood, oh God, that you would physically heal those who stand in need of healing today. God, that you would draw families together and closer to you, that you'd heal marriages. Lord, that you would save souls above all else. May it all be done in and through your living, powerful word. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. We're only saved through faith in Jesus Christ. We established that last Sunday. Bar none, it's not going to work any other way. Go back and listen to that sermon. Look at it and you'll see the two ladders, and we'll talk about the two ways. But what after that, what comes next? You're saved, but what then? You get saved, you come to know Jesus, you ask the Lord to come into your heart and save you, but then that saved person, then I go right back out there into an unsaved world. I deal with maybe an unsaved boss or unsaved co-workers. I go to the grocery store and deal with a checkout clerk that may or may not be saved. I battle and fight with the turmoil and the trials of the world. I ask Jesus to save me, but then God, I've got to go back out there into an unsaved world and fight what Paul calls the good fight. So how do I do that? How do I contend in my flesh, Lord, with all the struggles that come into my life that are, we all know and confess, out of our control? I tell you that the way that God wants us to handle it is through discipleship. We are discipled by God, by others in whom we pray with and study and read Scripture with, and we disciple others also. This process of discipleship, let's look at it. There's a difference between conformed and being transformed. Confirmation is what the world does to you when you get fit into many different molds in your lives. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Amen. You go out there and things is breaking down, people's being mean to you, you get a bad diagnosis at the doctor, all these other things. And as Paul says, we can be conformed to the world. The world begins to squeeze us in the worldly mold by the flesh through sin, or we can be transformed, have our heart transformed through the Word of God and through discipleship. I'm saved, so what next? Many will say today that I'm saved, so I'm a Christian. Does that make us a follower of Christ? Does that make us a disciple of Christ? Does just being saved make you a Christian? I said last Sunday that the saved person could still go back out and experience destruction in the flesh at the hands of the devil in this life. And I'm referring to the physical body. Your soul and your spirit is eternally secure, but you can make a decision. Some people are in the wrong place at the wrong time. They're a saved person, but because of decision that they make, they come under the condemnation and the curse of sin and the flesh. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, we can make a mess. It doesn't mean I'm unsaved. It means that I messed up and I made a mistake. I put myself in a bad position. Sometimes we can struggle with many different things. People abuse their bodies. Some make bad choices, bad decisions with their lives, with their marriages, with their finances, all these things. And that is that's the conforming of the world. We listen to the world and the devil, and we put ourselves in a bad place. Bad decisions. This is why discipleship is so important today. We need teaching and challenging and encouraging. And the first part of that process is easy. The teaching and the sharing can be much easier than the challenging and the encouraging. Because, see, challenging and encouraging is more one-on-one. Teaching and sharing can be done in the masses. We're worshiping this morning. As a pastor, I'm sharing a sermon with you today. If you came to Sunday school, you heard a Sunday school teacher teach you a lesson. That's the teaching and the sharing. But I believe that that's not all that discipleship is. Discipleship at the core is teaching people to be obedient to God's commands, to make God a priority in their life. You see, I can tell you all about God, but I bet there's more than one person in this church that'll walk out of here today and go right back out in the world and do what they want to. Amen? More than one, maybe even me. The Lord says, don't hate your neighbor. And I go down here, I'm trying to go to the new Mexican restaurant in Gretna. Somebody cuts me off, gets in my seat, looks at me funny. Malice is in my heart. Nobody ever does that, do they? Right? Man, come on, I'll do it. I'm the preacher. I don't know what that makes me, how it sets me apart. But you see, discipleship is that Adam or Glenn or Oscar or Gene or somebody can send me a text to encourage me. I love you. I'm praying for you. Try to calm down. Try to have peace. It's interaction. You see, discipleship requires time and commitment. Wait a minute, preacher. Now you're getting personal, right? You're talking about decisions that I make. Let me tell you, I can share the Word of God with you, and you're still going to make up in your mind what you're going to do when you walk out of this church. Amen? That's discipleship. We can't be conformed. The Bible says we need to be transformed in our hearts. We need to be careful of the decisions we make and who we follow. Believe it or not, we're all a follower or a disciple of something or someone. You might want to be better at a particular sport, to learn about it. You study techniques, you practice, you play the sport a whole lot. They say practice makes perfect. You have muscle memory. You're able to shoot a ball well, hit a ball. You got a better golf swing. You know what I'm talking about? Practice, time. You study. You could be a follower or a participant of basketball, baseball, football, golf. You may want to catch more and bigger fish. You may want to kill bigger game. You study techniques. You put the time in to try to reach that goal. You may want to have a nicer car or a nicer home or a better career. So you study. You go to school. You work at changing things that require, that take a certain level of your time. Believe it or not, you are following someone or something. You are a disciple to whatever you want to get closer to, learn more about, and be better at. Amen? Do you know what I'm talking about? That's human nature. That's how we operate and work. All of these things, hobbies, desires, aspirations, goals, whatever you want to call it, you could say that you're a disciple to that given focus. In the New Testament, the Bible, the word for disciple is the Greek word translated mathetes, which can be translated pupil or apprentice. Strong's Concordance defines it as this: a follower of Christ who learns the doctrines of Scripture and the lifestyle they require. Disciple simply means learner or student. Everyone will follow someone or something. The social media giant YouTube works off of that exact principle. There are followers. You're waiting for someone to release a video so that you might see it, so that you can keep up with what they do. The social media Facebook operates in the same way. You have people follow you. You follow people. You keep up with what they're doing. You may see something. You may repeat what they say and not even have to think about it because you've seen it on Facebook and read it a million times. Some people have a million followers. This is not some newfound thing. I remind you, Jesus had disciples and followers. He kept them close to Him in more of a one-on-one, intimate, personal nature. He taught them and they learned from Him. Amen. This is a biblical principle. That's how discipleship is done. I'm going to tell you, discipleship can start with the masses, but if you want to get it right, you got to do it personally, one-on-one. You got to challenge people. People have got to be willing to learn, and you have got to be willing to teach. Amen? And that's one of the faults in the modern church today is that takes too much work. That's awfully hard, God, for me to give these people my attention one-on-one and continue to work with them and to continue to discipleship. That's how it works. Now look at this scripture in Luke chapter 6. Notice what Jesus is saying. He asked the question, can the blind lead the blind? There are some things that we should follow and learn from. There are some things that we should not follow, let alone make it a habit in our lives. Did you hear what I say? Some things, there are bad habits. Some things you don't need to fool with because it's bad for you. And Jesus says, if you follow the wrong things or the wrong people, He said, can the blind lead the blind? Absolutely not. They'll fall into a ditch. Someone would get hurt. There can be destruction. There can be tragedy in their lives. Because they made bad decisions, because they're giving priority in time to things that's not eternal, but it's earthly. Did you get that? Earthly things. We're giving the earthly the eternal priority. We're being conformed and not transformed. And I've been there. I know what it feels like. Jesus said, can the blind lead the blind? No, they'll fall into a ditch. And then in verse 43, He said, now consider the fruit that is produced. A good tree brings forth good fruit. A corrupt tree brings forth corrupt fruit. And I want to tell you today, fruit's where it's at. I like good fruit, and I know you do. We don't like to eat bad fruit. We throw it out. Jesus gathered all these large crowds together to Himself, and He challenged the people, consider this. Who will you learn from? Who will you follow? What will have priority? They had many teachers back then, and so do we today. Some things, it's okay to learn and practice and make it a habit, and some things we shouldn't. And Jesus says, you follow the wrong leader, you give priority to the wrong things, and you'll fall into a pit, maybe a physical pit, which is destruction and turmoil that comes to the body when we make bad decisions, put ourselves in the wrong places at the wrong time. You'll go through that physical destruction, spiritual turmoil and destruction if I give priority to the wrong things in my life. That is the difference in being conformed to sin of the world and being transformed by the Spirit of God. Those who are trying to learn and be impacted by knowledge and skill, but the heart is not transformed. In a Christian spiritual way, outside a desire to obey the words of Jesus Christ, you cannot have a transformed heart. You cannot do discipleship. Fruit is the key. Listen to this, church. The number of people on the church roll, the number of programs that you may offer, the amount of money in the budget, the amount of additions that's made to the church, all of these things could be a part of discipleship, but I want to tell you this today. That is not the resume of the church. How big the role is, how big the budget is, the additions to the church, all the good stuff, that is not the resume of this church. Now, albeit many pastors like to sort of build themselves up with that. And I'm going to tell you, our role at this church is huge. If you've never looked at it, it's mind-boggling. I've got copies of it in my office. I look at all the names on that roll, and there is tons of names on the roll. But now on Sunday, you already know what I'm going to say. You don't see them on Sunday. That's not the resume of the church. The beauty of the church, that's not the resume. The resume of the church, as Jesus says, is the fruit produced in the lives of the people. That's the resume of the church. The fruit that's being produced. The discipleship that's being done. Now, wait a minute, preacher. I can't make anybody be obedient to God. Jesus said that we are to teach obedience to God's will. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1 there. And Paul brings this to light. Paul says, is it documents that we need to produce? Is it things written in ink or things written on the fleshly tables? Things of the Spirit. You're talking about producing fruit in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice what Paul writes here. He says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are the epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Notice he's talking about the issue of the heart, the fruit being produced in the life, not of material things, but of spiritual things. He says that's the important thing. For as much, he says in verse 3, as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. Discipleship is personal. Discipleship is transformation of the heart. Discipleship is not just the giving of information. Discipleship is not just done to 100 people at a time or 150 people. You want to get somebody's attention and encourage them, make it one-on-one. Go see them at their house, see them at the grocery store, meet them for coffee at McDonald's, text them during the week, call them during the week. That's how you're going to get right down to the matters of the heart. Because I can preach to you all in a large crowd, and some of you can walk right out here and do whatever you want to. We know that. We know that. But you want to really do discipleship, make it one-on-one. And it's not the role, it's not the church, it's not the beauty, it's not the programs, although that helps and is a part of it. The resume is the fruit of the people. It's what's happening and being produced in our lives. Now think about that. The teaching not just of the commandments, but the teaching to be obedient to the commandments. Do we want a transformed heart? Are we allowing the world to conform us? Notice what Paul says in verse 5 here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, it's not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is in God. The telltale sign of a conformed life. Listen to this, church. The telltale sign of worldly living, or conforming to the worldly desires, or giving into the flesh, is this. When the daily lives and the goals of the people inside of our churches mirrors that of those who do not even claim to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's conformation. If the outside world can't tell you apart from the unsaved person, if your goals and desires are just as high as theirs and they don't know Jesus as their Savior, their name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's conformation. That's what Paul is talking about. Priorities are mixed up, desires are mixed up. We, the Bible says, we are called, set apart, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God said, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. He wants fruit to be produced. And the Bible says there should be a difference. That's transformation. When we have a transformation problem, we'll be able to see it if we're honest before God. And I pray that God would help us today. When through the flesh things are done to fulfill the desires of the earthly rather than to seek and obey the heavenly, flesh rather than spirit, physical rather than spiritual, Lord, help us in America today. And Jesus speaks specifically about this. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. I've read these two verses from that baptismal right there. I've shared them at the lake down here. I've shared them in many homes. When we're talking about the Great Commission, what we're supposed to go out there and do and share with people. Matthew chapter 28, the last two verses, in verse 19 and 20, Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus didn't say, teach them God's commands. He said, teach them to what? Obey God's commands. It's not in the sharing of information. It's not just in the sharing of God's word. We've got to do discipleship. And many times in the modern church, that's where we're missing it. We're just going to preach the word and think everybody's just going to turn around and make a difference, but we're not seeing the fruit. Why? What are we missing? Well, they've got to be obedient enough to receive it and want it, and you've got to be willing enough to teach it and give it to them. Amen? That's discipleship. Now, the word also says that the word will not return void, and I've used that many times to say that if I share the word, that something's going to happen. But I want to tell you, in those verses of Scripture, in Isaiah, the Bible was saying that God's word is going to perform His purpose. God's purpose, His word, is just. It's a word that will save you or condemn you. The decision's up to you. If you hear the word and you decide to be obedient and turn it over to God, God will save you. If you hear the word and it does not impact your heart, you're not looking for transformation because the world's got you all conformed, you can walk right out of the church, the Sunday school class, the couple's Bible study. You can go right back out there and get right back in the same shape you were in. The decision is absolutely up to you. I don't know about you, but that don't go down my throat very well. I'm just going to tell you. But that's the truth. And the Bible says that the truth shall set you free. And I need freedom. I need transformation. Jesus said specifically, it's not the teaching them of the commands, but teach them to obey, be obedient to the commands of God. The end result is not merely just knowledge of what Jesus commanded, but obedience to it. When it comes to discipling, it's not just the giving of the word, the information, but teaching people what to do with the word. I want to tell you, parents and children today, I feel this with all of my heart. I want to speak to all of the parents, all the grandparents, and all the children. When it comes to discipleship, parents, your first priority, your first line is to disciple your children. We think about, well, Lord, how can I get my feet wet in discipleship? How's this going to work? First and foremost, your family, your home, your children. I want to tell you something. Moms and dads, listen to this. If your children cannot obey you, if your son or daughter cannot obey the earthly father that loves them, hugs them, hands them the car keys, gives them finances that they see standing in the kitchen, in the living room, that they see in the home every day, if your kids cannot be obedient to you, how are they going to ever obey a God that they have to accept and take on faith? Did y'all get that? There's going to be some difficulty. And sometimes as parents, the kids don't want to deal with us and we don't want to deal with the kids. But I want to tell you something. Discipleship is important. Too many churches say we don't want to deal with the problems of the people, and the people say I don't want to come to the church. I want to tell you, you need the church and the church needs you. That's a biblical fact. You cannot have transformation if you try to do it any other way. You've got to not only hear the commands of God, but we've got to learn to be obedient to God's commands. He's got to have priority in our lives, first and foremost. If not, your heart will never be changed. It'll never be changed. I've lived at church. I know that. I know it. I've told my kids this past week, you got to trust me. You got to listen to me. Because if they can't learn to be obedient to me, how are they ever going to serve a God that they have to take on faith? That's vitally important. And then discipleship also comes when we reach out to the other people that we meet, that we contact, that we love on. And we can't set ourselves apart. We've got to be engaged. The last scripture I want to share with you today is Romans chapter 12. It's just two verses right here. Romans chapter 12, Paul specifically says and mentions confirmation or transformation. It's an absolute fact. He says in Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. So where am I now? Where am I now in the Christian walk from being born again as I go through life till I reach my heavenly home? Am I allowing God to transform my heart? Am I allowing Him to disciple me? Because I need it just as much as you do. I need brothers and sisters in Christ who will call me and pray with me, and we can talk about the Bible and we can have coffee, and I need my soul fed. On Sunday mornings, we're working to feed other souls. Well, after Sunday, I got to have my soul fed. If not, I'll starve to death. Amen? You need it too. And when people have a priority higher than that of being obedient to God, you can't have a transformed heart. Your soul cannot be fed. And many people will say, yeah, but I come to service on Sunday so many times a month. I do it so many times a year. I tithe this much. Listen, are you being conformed or transformed? That's for you, and only you can decide that. Because you can hear, and we can give all the information we want to, but I want to tell you, if nobody's willing to use it and take it, their heart will never be changed. And we got to have transformation. In closing this morning, think on this. What's the resume of the church? Producing good fruit. That we joyfully give ourselves as a living sacrifice for God's service. Is your focus earthly or eternal? Is it flesh? Is it conforming or being conformed by worldly pressure to be good at a sport, keep up with the Joneses, have the best resume or portfolio, the best home, have the best time in life? Or is it a heart being transformed, earthly or eternal? I see it in mine. I see it in other people. We need to pray, Lord, I need your help. If you see it in the lives of friends and family, take time to reach out and disciple, teach, encourage. The Bible calls on the older people to disciple the younger people. And sometimes today, sometimes as we get old, we want people just to serve us and do for us. But we have a responsibility to disciple the younger, to do for them. The devil cannot deliver the heart. Only Jesus can. Information and programs and other things can't deliver you. Only Jesus can. And when you get serious enough to say, God, I just want to get down like David said. David said he laid on his face and he said, a humble and contrite heart, God, you will not despise. I got to say, Lord, I want you to be first in my life. And everything else is going to come. If you want me to have it, you'll give it to me. If not, I got to accept that I'm never going to be whatever or have whatever. But I need heart transformation. I want to tell you, the devil plays music and mankind is dancing all over the world today. But I'm reminded I want to be like King David and I want to dance before the Lord. Lord, I want you to do this transformation work in my heart and in my life. Maybe people don't realize today the joy that's to be had in serving the Lord Jesus rather than being squeezed by the world. And our hearts are not pure in need of protection, but wicked in need of transformation. You cannot be a good enough person to get to heaven and please God. You cannot do it by the law. You can't tithe your way into heaven. There's nothing you can do without outside of being obedient and receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. So how about discipleship? And how about the fruit that's being produced in our lives today?